just come from such different sorts of circumstances. I'm up all night in the studios and you're out early on your ranch. You'll be brushing out the broom as tail while the sun is ascending, and I'll just be getting home with my reel to reel. There's no comprehending. Just so close to the bone and the skin and the eyes and the lips you can get. I still feel so alone. I still feel related. Like stations in some relay. You're not a hit and run driver, no, no. They sent away. You just picked up a hitcher. A prisoner of the white lines on the freeway.
Glenn Hansard there performing Joni Mitchell's Coyote from Joni 75, a birthday celebration. The recording is of a film, of a concert recorded in the presence of Joni Mitchell at the Music Centre in Los Angeles in November of last year. And while Mitchell herself didn't perform, the lineup included James Taylor, Graham Nash, Kris Kristofferson, Chaka Khan, Los Lobos, Rufus Wainwright, Glenn Hansard, as we've just heard, and a host of others as well. The film has a once-off screening this Thursday in Dublin and Galway at the Lighthouse and Palace Cinemas, respectively. And joining me now from LA is the producer of the concert, Nick Sherwitz Hall. Nick, what a concert it was! It was over two nights last November, and the film is compiled for that. Whose idea was it to make this 75th birthday celebration in the first place?
It was really Jorn Weisbrot's idea. He had been the producer at the Luminato Festival in Toronto and staged a celebration with Joni for her 70th birthday. And he had come to Los Angeles and was the artistic advisor at the Music Center and conceived this idea about a year ahead of time. And, you know, as you know, these things take a long time to get together.
Well, but certainly with the lineup you had, it must have taken a while. But I guess given that Jorn is married to Rufus Wainwright, Rufus Wainwright was one of the first who must have said yes then, was he?
Yeah, he was. And in fact, the second was Glenn Hansard. And both Rufus and Glenn had done the show for Joni's 70th in Toronto.
How would you even begin to assess, because what we get over the 2 hours of the film is, even that is just a snapshot of the body of work that Joni Mitchell has given us. How would you assess what she did for contemporary music in America, and indeed in the world, you know, in her, when she was at the height of her powers?
A couple things, though, come to mind real fast. First, right, super powerful female voice, really owning being a female voice, and then owning as an artist the right to experiment, to stretch out, to try different approaches, and to really own herself as a artist with a voice. That is, it's super exemplary, and you see it in how younger female artists especially talk about her, like Brandi Carlile, who's in the show.
Yeah, in fact, one of the things that the show has, we have the music, obviously, at one level. We have beautiful paintings on the backdrop, which I'll come back to you about shortly. But we also have archive clips of Joni herself, Joni Mitchell herself, at various points in time. And just given that you're talking about that female voice and what she was doing, let's listen to what she says about how her own life and her own biography fed into the songs that she sings.
I mean, I feel every bit of trouble I went through, I'm grateful for, you know? Really, Malcolm.
What kind of trouble were you referring to?
Just woe, you know, trouble. Woe is me, trouble on me. A broken heart, a broken body, little tricks of fate, bummers, you know? The bummers. In retrospect, a lot of them changed the course of my destiny. I wouldn't have even pursued this job. I wouldn't have pursued music, but for trouble, I wouldn't have been as good a painter. I probably would have been a commercial artist and just been doing layouts for newspapers or God knows what, menus, bad fortune. Changed the course of my destiny. I became a musician.
One of the inserts there into the Joni 75 birthday celebration, the film version of which we're speaking about this evening with one of those who was involved in producing the concert, Nick Sherwitz Hall. It's interesting how she mentions her painting within that, and why don't I just go to those paintings now, and what people who were in the hall on the night in the Music Centre in Los Angeles, what they actually saw there. They looked amazing even on screen, Nick.
Yeah, they were gorgeous, right? They were Joni's own paintings that Jorn curated to go with each song, and there are, you know, more than a dozen of them. Joni herself has often talked to her about herself as an artist who's a painter, not just a musician and a songwriter.
I'm interested in it because I know you sat in on rehearsals for this. Now, the people that we're speaking about here who performed on the night, these are seasoned performers, you know, who have vast music careers behind them, but they're taking on, you know, the epicenter of songwriting in terms of Joni Mitchell. Was there a nervousness among these big artists in doing that and singing them in front of her?
Yes. You could see, especially for Diana Krall and Nora, they really, really worked those songs hard.
Nora Jones,
you know, someone like, I mean, Emmy Lou, she's so cool and such a seasoned pro. She knows the songs, but also just she exemplified this thing. Everybody wanted to get it just right.
I thought it was very interesting. Emmy Lou Harris, I think, in voiceover at one point, talks about how Joni Mitchell's writing had intimidated her earlier on in her life. But on the stage, on the night, she introduced a song that I think will particularly speaks to this part of the world. Let's listen to that introduction. We talk a little bit about it afterwards.
I'm going to lighten the mood now by doing a song about women that were enslaved in convents back in Ireland. I just turned 27 when they sent me to the sisters for the way men looked at me. Branded as a Jezebel, I knew I was not bound for heaven. I'd be cast in chains into the Magdalene laundry. Some by their own father. Bridget got that belly by her parish priest. Trying to get things quite as though all of us woe-begotten daughters in the steaming stains of
That's Emmy Lou Harris singing Magdalene Laundry from Joni's 75, a birthday celebration that we're speaking about this evening. It's such a powerful song. In 1994 album, Turbulent Indigo, was where that song, I think we first heard it.
It's been a favourite of Emmy Lou's for a long time, and she's performed it several times previously.
You were also telling me before we came to air that, because when I heard Emmy Lou Harris saying, let me lighten the mood here, and there was that laughter, I thought, it's gone into Magdalene Laundry. This is nothing to laugh about. But there was a context for that on the night.
Yeah, there was. So just prior to that, Emmy Lou had performed Joni's song Cold Blue Steel, which is really about heroin addiction. And Emmy Lou came out of that and said to everyone, so there's a beautiful Joni Mitchell song about heroin addiction, and now I think I'll lighten the mood. And then she goes into talking about Magdalene Laundry.
Yeah, so it was just that facility that she has to have a black sense of humour in the darkest of situations.
Oh, yeah.
to play the audience. And great version of the song as well. Graham Nash, another very interesting. It was the only song on the night that was not written by Joni Mitchell, and we let him, in his introduction, explain why.
Every song that you will hear tonight was written by Joni, except this one. I wrote this song for Joan when I was 27 years old, and Joan was 26. And quite frankly, after the election yesterday, I'm so pleased to have our house back.
I'll light the fire. You bought
fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs all night long for me, only for me. Come to me now and rest your head for just 5 minutes. Everything is done. Such a cozy room. The windows are illuminated by the evening sunshine.
Nash with the song Our House, the only non-Joni Mitchell song that featured in the concert we're speaking about this evening. And the film version of that concert is going to be screened in the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin and in the Palace Cinema in Galway this coming Thursday evening. Speaking with me about the concert and the film is Nick Showerts Hall. There's obviously whatever went on back in the day, there's a lot of friendship and some sort of coming together between Graham Nash and Joni Mitchell for him to be there on this 75th celebration and to perform like that so openly about their life.
When he got the invitation, he jumped right on it. He flew himself in from New York to do the show. He did make it a condition that the only thing he was going to do was do Our House. But, you know, you could see the same affection for Joni with James Taylor, who really poured his heart and his soul into both River and Woodstock. Mm. And backstage at the end of the show, the tenderness with which he just embraced Joni and was really moving.
Yeah, I mean, Graham Nash, I think, speaking about Our House, he said that it was just an ordinary day in an anything but ordinary life with between himself and Joni Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, well, and think about back in those days in the late 60s, you know, they were living in Laurel Canyon in that little house and kind of having an extraordinary time, but no one was really used to the idea of being a music superstar yet. They would go out in L.A. and do a little shopping, get a vase, and come home with the cats, and there you go. It's a beautiful, beautiful song that everyone knows. And let me just add, one of the gorgeous moments in the film is that Graham gets the entire audience, and I do mean the entire audience of 3,000 people, singing the chorus with him.
I suppose one of the sad things is that Joni Mitchell herself, she's unable to perform at the minute, Nick.
Yeah, you know, she's had some health troubles, and you know, she last performed, I think, at the 70th birthday, and we thought maybe she would join in on the chorus of Big Yellow Taxi, but it was just great that she could show up. And when she did, she was really in fine form and looked great, but she's definitely not singing. And you can imagine, she has some pretty high standards for herself as a singer.
Is it true what Seal said, that it was she, as in it was Joni Mitchell, who asked him to sing probably the song that everybody knows best when they hear the name Joni Mitchell?
It's true. Joni had a lot to say about both who she hoped we would invite to sing and what songs they would sing. And she is still close with Seal, and he obviously has great affection for her, and she did ask him to sing Both Sides Now.
So
she also asked him to sing Strange Boy, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yeah, well, just one final question on Joni Mitchell said herself. You said she was very involved in, you know, the song, who would sing and what songs they would sing. How clear is that musical mind? If she couldn't get up and perform and sing because of her own high standards, how clear did you find the musical mind when working with her as a producer?
Razor sharp. She knows what she's doing. She really does. She listened to all the tracks afterwards. She listened to the mixes. I'm very, very pleased to say she loved the tracks and was so complimentary about the artist. But yes, she listens and she knows what she's doing. It's just that she can't sing at the standard that she wants to. So, you know, she's still completely lucid and brilliant. And, I mean, she's still writing poetry. She's got a book coming out here. So she's an active, generative artist still.
All right. Let us finish up then by listening to Seal and the song that I would guess he was told to sing by Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now.
Rose and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. The rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. Clouds, illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds.
Both Sides Now, as performed by Sealer, and you can hear it in full on Joni 75, a birthday celebration, which can be seen this Thursday, March 21st, at the Lighthouse in Dublin and at the Galway Palace at 8:30.